talking to you. We about to have a house party. Welcome to the Re-Emancipation of Social Dance podcast, a prelude to the world premiere of an immersive dance theater experience created by me, Raja Feather Kelly, with Philadelphia's finest, Yolanda Wisher. Listen in as five multifaceted dancers tell the evolving story of social dance and the impact that it's had on the people and cultures of Philadelphia. Come on in and let's move. Episode 0, Unearth What Is Already Here. Where did the idea for the re-emancipation of social dance come from? Episode 0 is a behind-the-scenes dip into archival audio from day one of the project. Co-creator Yolanda Wisher first invited me, Raja Feather Kelly, down to Philly from New York on March 27th in 2022. And on this day, we started thinking about a project that we could do together around Black social dance in Philadelphia. She arranged for me to have brunch and dinner with a number of local dancers and historians. And for lunch one day, we sat down in a cafe in Center City and began brainstorming over a copy of this book, From Hucklebuck to Hip Hop, Social Dance in the African American Community in Philadelphia. This book is by John W. Roberts. And this conversation was so generative, and it sparked so much of the energy and framework around the current project. It touched on why Philly is so special when it comes to social dance. We talk about creating a performance that has a shifting center, one that is an invitation to practice freedom, and one that is an opportunity to show how culture is made in the moment. So take a listen.
Things I think might resonate with what y'all were talking about earlier. So some of these I put in the notes that I sent you. In an important sense, this study of African American vernaculars dance probes memory beyond the level of the purely cognitive. In doing so, it reveals in a rather dramatic way that the body can sometimes remember what the mind has forgotten. A deep sense of social dance as an important part of the historical and cultural heritage of African people in the city of Philadelphia. Dance is a unique artistic tradition. Consideration of how African Americans in Philadelphia remember their earliest experiences with dance. It's a lot about memory.
Yeah.
They talked a lot about like how these dance traditions came out of frolics on plantations, like the Saturday nights when enslaved folks were able to just dance and be free to celebrate the harvest. They also talked about pay parties, like house parties and rent parties, being kind of part of the culture here in Philly, that people would get together at house parties to help other people pay rents. I didn't know that that was the thing. I knew that there were house parties and rent parties outside of Harlem, but I've always associated the rent parties as
with
like
Harlem,
a New York and Harlem phenomenon, like a tenement thing. And then the other festivals, they talked a lot about festivals, like Adunde is a big African festival here. Starts down at Penn's Landing where the first slaves came to Philadelphia. And there's a marker, like a historical marker that a lot of these same folks really like riled up against the city to put there. And so Adunde starts there. They give like libations and flowers. They throw flowers in the water to the ancestors.
Oh, wow.
And then they actually, like, from there, that's where the parade starts. And then it's, like, a big festival, like, you know, what you would, might see it like. A little bit of Afropunk, a little bit of Caribbean festival. It's a little bit of everything. That's our big African-centered festival here in Philly. I've never actually been, which is, like, a deep, dirty secret.
You gotta go this year.
I'm gonna go.
You gotta go this year.
And then I'm gonna go, and I'll be like, I've been here for 20 years.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. But I feel like I know it because every festival in Philly has a little piece of that,
right.
I guess. Or it's like going to Adunde, or it's like Adunde. But like June, they said that a lot of these dances came out of those kinds of festivals, or festivals became a place where it could hold that. And also like all of those kind of stemmed from Juneteenth festivals, like Emancipation festivals. And also like places like public squares, like Place Congo. In New Orleans, like places where Black people, free and enslaved people, could dance together. And that made me start thinking about places too. Like I started thinking about, we were we're right at Park, which is right next to a big square in Philadelphia called Rittenhouse Square. Uh-huh. And that's a space where a lot of people gather every single day. There's also Washington Square, which has also a history like Congo Square, which looked like enslaved people in Philadelphia having had a history there. And then there's Logan Square. There's like four different squares in Philadelphia that William Penn mapped out along the grid. They talk a lot about intergenerational learning in this book. They talk a lot about old folks, but then they say they had to include young people, like
right.
the children of these, the grandchildren and the children of these, because everybody talked about how they learned to dance from their grandparents or their mother or father. And some of the other things I was thinking was, people are talking a lot about black joy. What does black joy look like today? That's something people in Philly are talking quite a bit. There's a lot of black joy movements going on here. I'm also thinking a lot about, like, when I was reading this book, I was thinking, where does this live now? Like, do we have a club scene in Philly
right.
like we did back then? I don't think we do. I think a lot of this is online now. I think young people are on TikTok dancing. That's where, and even old people are on TikTok dancing. So I don't know, there's something about that part of the social media element of this that this book could not have accounted for.
Right.
Like they, in the 90s, they didn't know what was coming. And there's no sign of that in what I read so far. Like they don't think about technology
right.
as related to any of this or the spread of it or the preservation of it. They talk a lot about social dance versus African Americans, vernacular dance, those being interchangeable terms. And vernacular dance was this thing that got into this process of artistic movement and this connection. Like they talked a little bit about Ellison, the vernacular used to signify forms of dance that have emerged in African American communities and traditionally performed in venues frequented by African Americans, family gatherings, house parties, jukes, cabarets, dance halls. I also saw there's this, improvisation, vernacular dance being characterized by improvisation, rhythmic movement, competition, elegance, control, spontaneity. All of that was something that they were kind of rooting around this work in Philly. And then I also started thinking about what is the connection between dance and violence, because there's so much violence in the city right now. People are being shot, like the amount of people who have been shot by gun violence since the pandemic started, it's just f***ing ridiculous. And like, the other day a little boy was 14 carrying a box of water home, got shot and died. It's like that kind of crazy, senseless violence
right now.
Thank you. And like with weapons that are like 3D weapons, like these are like, they don't even know where the hell all these guns are coming from. But it's like, there's so much, there hasn't been a level of violence in the city like this, I think, since this book came
out. Wow.
So that was something I was like, I don't know if we could think about that in a way, or if that enters into this thing. But also, like what Lila was talking about, labor, dance, the connection between dance and work and labor, like the way that these folks were talking about, oh, this is descended from our sense of joy on the plantation, our sense of like the one free time we could have to ourselves, we decided to do this with our bodies. That connection to like, this is a counterbalance to work in some way, or a counter to labor.
Hey, you. It's me again. Yeah, I'm talking to you. We're having a house party and you're invited. Get your fit ready for the world premiere of The Re-Emancipation of Social Dance, Thursday through Saturday, June 20th through 22nd at 7 p.m. Christchurch Neighborhood House in Old City, Philadelphia.
I get really excited about titles. Titles sort of like hold space
yeah,
for me.
Exactly.
So I'm like, title.
Title, start with that.
And so many titles came up when we were talking to Layla. What did I write? I was like, I wrote Continuation. I wrote The Weeknd because I really loved thinking about that as like a form.
Yes.
I really liked She, Her Own Diaspora.
The diaspora conversation, y'all.
I was like, whoa. She, Her Own Diaspora. I was like, that is the I want to see that piece, is what I thought to myself. Right? I want to see that piece, She, Her Own Diaspora.
That's like an instant classic.
State of the Union.
That kind of lends itself to your snapshot idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also just now wrote, because just also, there's something about freedom that keeps coming up. That's like, you know, we live in a free country. Are we free people? What does it mean to be emancipated? What does it mean to like re-emancipate oneself? So I was just now thinking about, I started thinking about Lauryn Hill, and I was like, the re-education of Lauryn Hill, and then I was like, the re-emancipation of, and then I stopped there, but. And then I was thinking about the different forms in that. I think I'm very curious about, like, included in whatever we make, there's, like, certainly, like, a collection of essays. As, you know, there was something about what Layla said where she's like, I do, like, I'm here, and I know that I'm here, and I'm happy to be here, and it feels important to be here, here as in Philadelphia, but... And I also, I want my work to have more expanse and have more outreach, but I also know that I'm supposed to just be here right now.
Right.
And that, so again, like there's this like double back-ended conversation about diaspora, like of like, well, I know that I've came from all these places. I know that I'm supposed to be here right now. And I know that I want to like have outreach and there's something that keeps cycling about like where you're coming from, where you're at, and where you're going. As like the squares are that way, cities are that way, the club is that way. All of these things are all about the intersection, why people are coming. Again, I mean, and this is obviously the way I think, but like why people are coming together and what makes them separate or have to go somewhere else. But also I think this thing that really pulled at my heart was just that there's all of this wonderful thinking around freedom and very little practice. And I'm like, you know, she's got everything she needs.
Right.
And yet we're, and I say she, and I also speak of myself, like we have everything we need, and yet we're like, kind of like,
stuck.
Yeah, but I'm still stuck. So I'm like, what is that? And that, I'm asking her like, well, what does this space look like where you get to kind of do all of that? And she's like, I don't, you know, it doesn't exist.
You can't think of it when you're stuck. It's hard to get out of your box to even see it.
Right. So then I'm like, so then I feel, of course, like immediately like, well, how do we create that space for her? And I imagine other people will feel the same. And what does that look like?
But I also love about this too is the inner, I love the model of the study with the concerts. That I'm like, how did they even, that in the 90s, that sounds something really radical that they came up with, like right. To have that kind of frame for the project. And the idea of dance parties is interesting. Mostly because I'm interested in that, what I said on the pew call, like that line between the performer and the audience, like how does that get blurred in some way? And I think that could be about where we are. Like if we're in a space that invites that, there could be a kind of organic way that that unfolds. And it sounds like that's what these concerts were. They were a way, although I'm not sure how orchestrated, because maybe people like came ready they knew the concerts were going to happen. Maybe they were like, these right. are very choreographed and curated types of things. But there probably was also some element of improv in there too. I like Reinvent. Because I kept thinking of choreographing freedom. That there's something about that's what's under here is the yearning for that.
Right.
I also love what y'all were saying about the body as a site.
Right.
That. I don't know how to think about place, location, sighting around that, but that would accentuate that. Jazz is doing me good.
So I thought about saying, like, how do we pick up where this book left off? But I actually wonder what happens if we find, like, if we use these, if we find, let's say, seven people who were here and try to actually trace them back to here.
What, like the kids or the old?
Like no, I mean, like, even just like if we take Leela, for example, and be like, how do we take your history and actually trace it back to this book
current, or
to these
like,
people?
Contemporary Philadelphia.
Yes. How did this actually
intersect
set
with
that up for you to be here, right? Yes. Like, she said something about, like, I know I'm supposed to be here. Like, this, she said something about this being the place that has, like, a landscape. She said something about, like, this is the landscape. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. But so, she said something. Maybe I didn't write it down. Maybe I just thought about it. But she was like, oh, Philly. She was like, Philly has this open landscape where I can, like, reconcile all of these things that I've learned in one place.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, so then if this... if this was the setup, you know, like this set that up for you to come back here and to have these things. And so, you know, there's a part here that's like, it says this project really isn't over. You know, Ndunde will continue to hold dances and record our own history.
Right.
We invite you to tell us your story. Here are some things we'd like to know about your own place in dance history.
They give you the prompts right
there. They literally set us up. That's why I was like, let me call the number. I literally, like, and then...
I was like, you calling somebody.
Yeah, no, and then it's that, you know, it's like, did you grow up in Philadelphia? Like, these are the questions we want to know.
Right, did you spend time near, like...
Did you spend time dancing? Where did you dance as a teenager? Like, so how do we get back to here? And, like, can we? Can we pick up the thread in retrospect? And that's the project. The point of this book...
Yes.
Is to say, like, what we experience as popular came from somewhere.
These black folks doing
and it
this
came from here.
Right. That's
and what has stopped and what ceases to exist is giving these people in their history a voice.
Yes.
And a platform and a structure, you know, so that people know. So it's both like, we're like trying to unearth what's just embedded in the community already.
And now we've come to the end of the party. Thanks for dancing with us. The Reemancipation of Social Dance podcast is produced by Dr. Bruce Campbell Jr. with Nia Benjamin and Yolanda Wisher for Intercultural Journeys. For more information about the podcast and project, visit reemancipatedance.org.
Special thanks to Odunde Inc. and Philadelphia Folklore Project for their permission to use archival audio from the Hucklebuck to Hip Hop African American Social Dance Project. The re-emancipation of social dance has been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. The views expressed are those of the artists and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage or the Pew Charitable Trusts. Now, you don't have to go home, but you got to get the heck up out of here.